All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered how real estate investors can ditch their 9 to 5, triple their income, and build a real estate empire in just 2 years, well, I've got Mike and Jay on the show today, and they're going to spill their secrets on creative financing. And, you know, how do you get there in 2 years? Mike and Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bryce, thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here, and we hope that we can share things that can help everybody. And
yeah, we're super excited.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, what I'm most interested in is the speed at which you guys were able to build this real estate empire, we'll call it here. So give us the point form of the 2 year climb. Like, where did it start? Let's focus there for a minute, and then we'll talk about where we are today. So how did you guys get started in real estate, I guess, 2 years ago?
Absolutely. So it pretty much all started. We had full-time jobs. I was an accountant, and Jay was a real estate paralegal here in Philly. So we got called home for COVID to work from home. And in Philly, there's a ton of real estate gentrification going on. So We're sitting there, and we're looking at each other and like, there's no way for the rest of our lives we're going to be sitting at a computer crunching numbers or dealing with legal clients. So It actually started with us going the conventional route. It was right around December of 2020. We hired a real estate agent. We went out, we found our first rental with a first-time home buyer loan, Did a small rehab, and then realized we just used up all of our cash. And We looked at each other and we're like, now what are we going to do? Because
this isn't happening.
Exactly. So of course, during COVID, you know, we wanted to get involved and we wanted to start to meet new people, but nothing was open. So we actually joined a local online real estate meetup group. And that was right around, I think, February of 21. And right around February of 21, that breakout group that we were there, we actually wind up talking with some people who mentioned creative financing. We never heard of it. And they were talking about how they just had bought like 3 houses with like $2,000 out of pockets, turnkey, beautiful. And we're looking at each other and we're like, we just dropped like $30,000 to buy this little $100,000 property. We would have been able to spread this over for forever. So we wind up like 4 or 5 months later, reconnecting with those 2 people who actually became our coaches. And in May of 21, we hopped on board with their mentorship. And from there, it really turned into us looking at each other. We ended our lease at our current rental. And me and Jay said, we're going to go get a house hack. We're going to start the process here. We're going to cut our living expenses. And this is going to be able to get us to quit our jobs. Well, lo and behold, we wound up actually living with my mom for 7 months because we couldn't find a place to buy. So we worked out of our garage. And that summer of 21 was when we bought our first 2 creative finance deals. They were both free leads from Facebook, actually. Took them over and then turned them into rent-to-own properties. We sold one and we still have the other one today. And then from there, we got our house hacked and pretty much started climbing.
And then COVID came to an end.
Yeah.
And we were both called. Well, I was called first to my W-2, like, you have to start coming back in. And we had built something. We were head down for so long that we were like, all right, what's going to happen if we do end up going back to work? You know, the time to travel and all that good stuff. And I just knew that it wasn't going to happen. We needed to keep going. We didn't build this for nothing, right? So I quit. When was that? April?
No. So it was exactly, I remember we celebrated because we actually went out that night, and it was almost an exact year from the day that we started with our coaches. Prior to that, like the start of the new year in 2022, we hired a couple acquisitionists. And from there on, we actually wind up doing 1 to 2 deals with 3 leads creatively every month. And we made in those 5 months from this January to May what Jay made in a whole year. And we looked at each other and we said, like, I think it's time.
So I left, and I don't know, someone around here couldn't hold back.
Yeah.
So in a less than a month, he left as well.
Yep. And what we really got into after buying those first two properties, we honestly wanted to start to generate revenue for the business. So instead of keeping all the creative deals, we actually realized and found out that there was a niche there if we can start wholesaling creative deals. So that's how we started really building up our revenue in the business, and our deals were flying off the shelf. And then once Jay left, Jay was like, "Mike, you're the closer. Like, I really need you here full time." So I put in my 30 days. We left. And then in June, we went to see Jay's grandparents in Puerto Rico. And we worked from Puerto Rico and closed three deals while we were in Puerto Rico for the month of June. And then that was kind of like our true testament to ourselves that we're here, we can do this, and we're doing it.
Yeah, you don't have to be anywhere in particular when you're selling paper. So, yeah, that's an unconventional house hack. I guess it's still house hacking if you're living temporarily with your parents. That's probably one of the easiest ways. But the house hacking's a big footer, because I feel like in real estate, there is that certain pressure, like, if I don't make any money this month, I can't pay my rent or whatever it is. And there's no guarantees in real estate. If you stop wholesaling, or if your rental portfolio isn't exceeding your lifestyle, there is a certain amount of like pressure. But then when you get the house hack, you're like, okay, to a certain degree that the other person could stop paying too. But if you pick the right partner in a house hack, you could have them paying your basic existence, and then you're not feeling like you might not be so desperate to do any deal or this deal or that deal. So at what point did you realize that selling the paper was a big part of your business? I remember you saying, okay, we did a couple recently, I guess it would be, while you were away. So you put those pieces, you put the paperwork together on those creative finance, and then I guess assigned the package to someone else to close on, and you just took the fee for negotiating and putting it together, getting them to sign, and the package then gets sold.
Yep. So our first creative finance assignment was in January of 22. It was a beautiful house, amazing terms. And I told Jay, I said, I'm writing it up. And we both looked at each other and we said, we don't want it though. So one thing that we were taught was that you can assign the paper. So we actually just threw it out on Facebook and said, hey, we have this deal. And within 24 hours, we already had a buyer locked in for a $20,000 assignment fee. And at that point, we were like, now we're on to something. If there's deals we don't want to keep, we can move them. We can make money. And in 20 grand in a month of about 3 hours of work was a no-brainer.
Yeah, the assignment fees, it can be a little bit feast and famine. But I would always say to the people I'm training or the people that are interested in wholesaling, it's like, get out the buckets. If it's raining, get out the buckets, because it might not be raining next month or the next. But if you're hitting and the market's hitting, just go for it. Spend all your time doing it. And so what I really like about what you guys are doing with the assignment of creative deals is that it's a step beyond just like, okay, we found a good deal and who wants to take it over and get the 10K fee. You're actually, and I think if you're listening along at home or in the car, more so than ever before, at least in the last 10 years that I've been watching the assignment game, it's not enough to find the deal. You must bring the paper on how it's going to be financed, because it's not so easy to go to the bank these days and get that financing. So if you want to move a deal quickly, consider finding out if that person selling is going to have terms on their financing, and if they can, sell that as part of the deal and, make something really turnkey for them. So you're starting to do the assignments, you've got your short money. How many are for you and how many are for them when you're looking at the incoming pipeline? Like, how many of the deals are you acquiring in ratio against what you're moving?
Absolutely. So the first, after we bought the, so the, we bought a rental property in 2020. In 2021, we did four units. So the two creative deals in the house hack, because the house hack is a duplex. And then going into 22, we said, all right, it's time to really start recouping all of the cash that we had put out. So for the first, like, I'd say half of the year, we actually just wholesaled everything. We didn't keep anything. And we were just recreating that cash that we put out. And once we got back from Puerto Rico, we realized we wanted to not be in the wholesale rat race forever either. Because it's two options. It's either you build a huge team and you get it pumping, or you take those deals and you keep them. So when we got back, we really started looking for deals. And after that, we wind up keeping another two, which we actually didn't close until 23. So right now we have 10 units, and there's another one that I'll get to. But we did, in 2022, we closed the total of 30 transactions from January through December. And out of those, we kept two of them, and the rest we actually all assigned.
Yeah, I mean, that's a decent ratio. I would always say to the people who are getting into the business, if they're also acquiring, I'd say, well, you know, two for them and one for me. And that's usually a way that you can look at your pipeline. If you've got six things in hand, you say, okay, well, two of those are probably the best two for what I'm doing. I'm going to keep those. I'm going to move the rest to the next person. So as a paralegal, how did that help you navigate the paperwork, Jay?
Absolutely. So I was actually a commercial real estate paralegal. So a lot of the paperwork that I see now is very familiar to me. I can actually, you know, read. I know how to obviously fill in paperwork. I can guide our team to kind of look out for the things that, you know, an attorney would look out for when they're reviewing paperwork. So that's really what's helped us. I've been able to help him, like, hey, we need X, Y, and Z when we're assigning a deal, right? This is necessary paperwork that the attorney is going to ask for, or the title company. So we might as well make it part of our process to gather it all up front, right? Because people just think, like, let me just assign this and put, you know, your full name in there and that's okay. Or, you know, the LLC name, but there's like little nuances, that people don't really know about that, you know, I'm at least, when I worked in the law firm, we were sticklers for. So that's really helped us kind of keep everything as a seamless process. And our buyers love working with us because of it.
Yeah, you'd hate for a deal to fall apart, because sometimes sellers get cold feet and they'll look through that paperwork to find the missing initial and say, well, I can back out of this deal now because you guys did cross your T's and dot your I's. So with all the real estate that you guys have done so far, you know, Robert Kiyosaki calls this the unfair advantage. What comes easy to you guys that other people might find difficult to do?
I honestly think that we both have our strengths in our different ways. You want me to
go ahead?
So at least on my side, I'm really good with talking on the phone with sellers, making them feel comfortable, and really finding out what the solution is to them. So on our team, we have a team of about six right now. We have two openers. They're VAs out of the Philippines. We have a setter that we call her. She basically, you know, builds the rapport with the seller, and then they push it off to me and I close the deal. And a lot of the wholesaling success has come from the fact that I try and make the whole process as easy and streamlined for the seller as possible. And I hit the checkpoints that I need to hit. And at the end of the day, the biggest thing is you have to get, it's not only about getting creative with the deal, but you also have to get creative with the situation. You know, we've had sellers who are giving us a great deal, but they have no money to move on to the next thing. So we find movers for them. We help them get to the next place that they're doing. We try and help them find a rental. That's been really the success with the front end of the business and the acquisitions. And then on the back end, I also help out our dispo person with finding buyers and building those relationships. And by sticking to our word, and me and our team saying, hey, this deal is yours, we're going to cut you guys a deal, whatever, most of our buyers are now all repeat. We blessed it out to our VIPs, and you know, it's all relationship building. And then on the flip side, Mrs. J has the whole operations running.
So we complement each other very well, because you know, we do have a big team, right? So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of hands in the pot, you would say. So that was one of my strong suits where I was like, okay, systems, process, SOPs. I used to create SOPs for, you know, for the law firm. So I knew what it took to, you know, run a team, but not only that, organize unorganized people, right? And then obviously manage. So the questions to ask, the culture to bring to our team, all of that stuff is really what I thrive in, on my end.
And Jay has really significantly helped the team since our whole team is virtual. We have a transaction coordinator, we have that helps with all the legalities and everything. And Jay has built it out so specifically that she's created email templates for the transaction coordinator to send so they don't have to think. And everything is process oriented and
Plug and
has
play.
plug and play. So when one person leaves, like we had a transaction coordinator, she left, we hired another one. It only took 2 weeks to onboard the new person and train them. And it even goes as deep as, you know, there's certain checkpoints and certain amount of days after we sign a contract. If it's a creative deal, another form has to get signed. Jay has it all set up and automated. It's,
Checklist, KPIs, all that good stuff.
yeah. And I think that also helps the business continue to grow. And what really does help us stand out and set us apart from other people, because we're not only giving great customer service to our sellers by being organized, process oriented, and clean, but for our buyers as well. You know, our buyers, once they submit their EMD, they don't have to do anything until closing again. We handle it all. So it's really creating a hands-off experience from on all sides, start to finish.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've seen and heard time and time again for, you know, starting, but mostly with scaling is really a focus on documented leadership. You know, you've got to have expectations. You can't hold someone accountable for something you didn't ask them to do. And the SOP is huge for virtually managing people, because it can be hard to like, okay, this is what I would do, and it might not be so obvious. You got to put it in a checklist. You got to make it part of the standard operating procedure for people who aren't familiar with SOP. And really just scaling is a function of standard operating practices, because you can't replace someone until you know exactly what you're replacing. Now, you know, you guys are doing a lot of wholesaling and creative finances. Where does capital come into the play here for you guys? Are you raising capital right now to fund deals?
Absolutely. So we have a couple. So all of our creative deals, except for the first one that we bought, we use private money for the entry fee. So all creative deals have an entry, whether it's just the closing costs, maybe some money to the seller, or maybe they're behind on their mortgage, whatever that looks like. So what we do in our buy box is turnkey properties that are either single family or small multis with an entry fee of 10% or less of the purchase price. That entry fee we actually fund with private money lenders. So we're not going and using lines of credits, a hard money lender. They're individuals who are lending to us at 10, 12% for a 6 to 12 month period. We use that money to close on it. And then from there, we actually turn all of our single family homes into rent to owns. And that rent-to-own tenant buyer gives us a down payment, which is how we in turn pay our lender back. The one deal that we're doing right now,
Surprised you didn't say it. It's like burring without the bank.
oh yeah, it's the Burr method with no banks. That's what we call it.
Nice.
So the one deal that we got working on right now is like, I'm so excited about it. It's a three family here in Philadelphia. Brand new, totally rehabbed. Seller came to us. It was actually a realtor's pocket listing. We're buying it sub two. It's like a $600,000 triplex in a really good section of the city. But between closing costs and some realtor commission, it's going to cost like 30 grand to close on it. So what we're doing is we have a private lender that we made a connection with actually at a local real estate meetup group. and he's given us a 5-year note for the entry fee. So basically, he's given it to us a 5-year note at 8% amortized over 10. So we can pay with our cash flow, still make some money every month, and come to the table with literally nothing out of pocket. We're actually going to get a check at closing because we're going to borrow a little bit more than we need for reserves. So we're actually getting paid to buy the property, which is pretty awesome. So
yeah, I remember my mentor would always say that access is more important than cost when it comes to capital, because you got to be able to move on these things. And, you know, especially when you're looking at like a multi like that, you could say, even if it made nothing, or if you were like, oh, I got to put $100 into it or $200 into it every month, what's it worth when you close the note? What's it, you know, in 5 years, what's that 30,000? What's your return on capital on the appreciation and maybe the drip cash flow? You know, a lot of these creative financing, you know, the creative financing deals that I like to do, I'm always trying to work that fee, that like 30K or whatever it takes to like get in the deal. I say, okay, can I divide the cash flow over the term so that it essentially pays back the money that I had to put into it to get out of it? So people are probably lining up, you know, in the DMs and stuff like that. If you're on the social media, if you're watching at home, you see their tags in the video here. Please tell me how you're doing it. Please, you know, let me help. And you can show me, like, you must get that all the time. Is there a way that people can learn some of these strategies and you find a little bit more about how that works?
Absolutely. So me and Jay, we all the time, everybody is asking us how we're doing it. A lot of our buyers even are asking us too. And they're like, I would love to figure something out. Like maybe we could work together. So me and Jay, about 6 months ago, started Roman's Creative Academy, which is where we take one-on-one students. We do it with a niche group. And we have different students over a different 6 to 10 month period. And we actually give you our business on a silver platter. And we help you from building your brand to generating leads to negotiating and helping you, giving you all the paperwork and closing the deals. So it's been really fulfilling working with some of our students that we're working with now. And
we don't want anyone to feel stuck, right? Yeah. With the real estate game, you want to scale, you want to grow, but you feel stuck. You shouldn't feel stuck, right? We always say that creative financing is tools in your toolbox, and you just have to know which tool to use. So
a lot of our students right now were investors prior, but they would burr a lot of their deals. And right now, some of them actually came to us because they said, I can't cash flow with these 8%. And I see you and Jay buying properties with 2.5%, 3%. You know, I'd love to get in on the action. I just don't know how to do it. So that's when, you know, we start working with them. And right now our students they're crushing it. Have a couple of students that are closing on deals and making things happen and doing rent to own.
Yeah, and it seems like the only way to really get cash flow is to be creative in this market. Because if you go to the bank is not super interested in that sort of thing. So getting creative, buying those old rates, you know, being able to still cash flow. And in some cases, you know, my favorite part about creative, and maybe you guys can speak to this, is it's not really like we buy houses anymore. It's, you're kind of getting some like pretty turnkey stuff. It's like we buy terms.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Our biggest motto, and if you guys go on Facebook and you look at Roman for Homes, that's our buying page. Our biggest thing that we push is we love turnkey, beautiful homes. Every home, that's actually our buy box. Me and Jay don't do rehabs. We never will. We assign them. All of our deals that we keep are ready to go for a family. And typically, not typically, they all are creative deals, whether it's seller financing, sub two, wraps, the whole nine.
So when you guys got started down the creative financing, I would call it a rabbit hole because it can go,
Can like, go deep.
You can even stack these things. Like you can do all sorts of wild things to get into deals. A lot of people weren't focusing on that for years because money was so cheap, and now they're kind of caught with the tide going out, saying, "Oh, I can't even get into stuff." Like you were saying, oh, the burr's not working. I guess it's kind of like you got to train on this, or you will be subjected to the bank's rates. And what would you say to someone who's thinking about getting into creative financing and it's like, it seems too complicated. I don't want to sit there and do that like hour and a half like pitch at the table and hammering out the terms and like who's going to take over this rental hot water tank and really hammering that thing down. What would you say to someone who's nervous about getting into creative financing? And ultimately, you have to raise money, a little bit of money all over the table. But creative financing is a kind of a short route. What would you say to someone who's thinking about getting into it and is nervous?
My response would be it's like riding a bike. You know, you have your training wheels on at first, and then once you take them off and you feel that wind hitting your face, it's a piece of cake.
Yep.
So
And it's honestly the best way, and we push it for everybody, but for somebody who's new, it's actually the best way to get started because when you're wholesaling real estate or you want to do a flip, you got to go to a hard money lender. You got to find private money to even touch the property. With creative financing, the first deal we bought, it cost us $3,500 to close on it. So for somebody new, that's the easiest way to get into a property. And on top of that, once you learn it and you talk with sellers, it's actually really easy. The longest that I'm ever on a phone call for a closing call is maybe 30 minutes. And by the end of that call, as long as you have your process right and you practice and you actually have a mentor or somebody that can teach you, it's the best thing to do. And you have to change with the times. You know, a lot of cash investors are pulling away. So for somebody who's new to break into the market, you can get a really easy deal, a really good deal, and sell it really quickly, and even just make an assignment fee. You know, so I wouldn't say to anybody, you know, if you're nervous or you think it's a lot of work, anything worth doing or having is a lot of work, but it's worth it 100%.
Yeah, I usually just call my my creative finance guy, say, "Look, I got this guy. He's open to the idea. When can you meet me? I'm supposed to actually be meeting a seller." And it's situational. The guy says, "I'm a truck driver. I'm in town one day a week. I've owned this house for 20 years. It's mostly like nice. It's not like, perfect, but it could be rented immediately." So I said, "Oh, I can't pay you what you want to get paid today. The bank's going to give me some like 7 or 8% mortgage. You ever thought about just continuing to carry it and I'll close on it when the rates come down in like 3 or 5 years?" He's like, "Yep, it's the shortest close of all time." And now it's just a matter of getting the paperwork out and going down there and like, how much is your back taxes that are really forcing you to sell this thing? And how do we navigate that so that we don't get foreclosed on in the interim? So there's lots of like little things, but I would say versus like getting someone to sell you their house and getting someone to agree to a creative finance seems to be a lot easier to get someone to come along with the creative finance because they're making money and
Exactly.
then you're taking over the problem. And I don't know many people who've been able to scale faster than the creative finance people in real estate. Like, "Oh, I did 100 deals last year." What? 100 flips? No, I put together like 100 pieces of paper and they're still out there working. And in a couple of years, this one's closing, that one's closing, equity here, and the profit centers in creative financing. So two things. How do they find you guys on social media? What should they do if they want to reach out? And then give us the website so that they can poke around at the school a little bit.
Absolutely. So on Instagram is the best way to get a hold of us. I'm Roman with Mike, so Roman with Mike.
And I'm Roman with J, Roman. For those who don't know who the heck Roman is, Roman is our pup, and you'll read all about him when you come check us out. And then in terms of our website, we're romanscreativeacademy.podia.com.
And you can find in our link tree in our bio on Instagram. You know, if you guys want to talk a little bit more with us, there's a link for you to book a call with us. You can check out our website, the links there. Anything you guys want to do, or just inbox us. We're more than happy to chat and see how we can help.
Yeah, if you're a wholesaler and you're finding your back up against the wall in this deal and you're like, oh man, they just want to sell, call a creative finance person and see if there's another option, because adding it to your arsenal will just unlock more deals. So definitely investigate creative financing, especially in this economy, guys. I really appreciate your time and opening the eyes a little bit to what can be done in this current trending economy. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thank
Thank
you for
you.
having us.
No problem. Until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.